Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Definitely am, as far as radio goes, and some other unmentionable things. I am the man. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Man, I struggled. I struggled to sit down in this chair today. I struggled. But I love my people. I love my listeners all across the United States of America and on Facebook as well. So thank everybody for tuning in. Nice outside. You know, I know people want to go out. You know, I want to go out too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start doing some shows outside within the next couple of weeks. So definitely look out for that. Anyway, greetings. It's April 8th once again. Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the RonKellyShow.com. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for his grace and mercy for keeping the old boy healthy and COVID-free thus far in this pandemic that we're living in right now. You know, there's so many experts saying so many different things. You need a scorecard to keep up with everything. For me personally, I'm keeping it simple and I'm adhering to the basics that they told us in the very beginning. Wear a mask when you're around other people. Social distancing and wash my hands as often as possible. I hope you guys are too. You know, I've tried that. Some people are, people are riding around in their cars with the mask on. Jesus Christ. Shout out to Joseph Boyd. How are you, brother? Timothy Cameron. How are you, my brother? Oh, man. Someday I just have to drag. And as much as I love doing a radio show, some days I just have to drag myself up here and make it happen for you guys. But anyway, like I said, there's so many different experts saying so many different things. That, you know, you just have to wear the mask, social distance, wash your hands. And it's been more than a year since Trump told us the virus would go away like magic. And there's millions of folks who had like COVID exhausted, including myself, and however you want to put it. And they are just tired of living the way it's been suggested that we live for the last year and some change. But I completely understand why people are frustrated that a year later we're still living like this. Our society is structured in a way that people are able to go out. This is how our society is structured, where you go out, entertainment, movies, sports, concerts, social gatherings, where we all go out and be together. So this has been incredibly difficult for our people to have to live like this. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen before in my lifetime. You know, than all that's going on. So it's really, really, really crazy. So anyway, thank everybody. Thank you all for taking your time out. It's really nice outside. I think I want to go outside right now. You know what I mean? But I have to stay here. I got to do this show. I got to make it happen for you people. It's not like I'm trying. Some days I just like, you know. But I know people are waiting, and I know that folks all across the United States, and right here in New Jersey, where my show originates, people are waiting to hear from yours truly, which I still find amazing at times. You know, I'm like, wow, people should really want to hear me. So I do what I do just for all of you. All right, everybody, it's 10 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly show. So now everybody's eyes has been glued to the George Floyd murder trial. You know, I've been listening to it while I was at work because I can't really actually watch it, but I can listen to it. And the George Floyd murder trial is going on right now. And, you know, and personally, I'm not a lawyer, you know, I don't pretend to be one, but I think that the prosecution is doing a bang-up job. The brother, I don't have his name up here, and I'm, like, totally unprepared. I don't have the man's name here. But, okay, I'm live on YouTube, okay. Yeah, I don't have the guy's name here, but you know, he's doing a bang up job. Tina Curry, my sister from way, way back when. How you doing, my sister? Keep doing your thing. Trying to pass off the word of God. Keep doing your thing, girl. Okay, so yeah, so the trial is going on right now, and you know, and there's some points of it where it puts you to sleep. You know, I want the drama. I want the Matlock moment. I want Jack McCoy to roll in there like he did, used to do in Law and Order when Law and Order was on television for 20 years or so. You know, I want the Perry Mason. I want somebody to drop in there and drop a bomb on the whole proceeding. And I think that this doctor, Dr. David Tobin, if any of you watch the broadcast today on every station there is, this Dr. Tobin I thought was a fantastic witness, expert witness. And see, you can't say that the man has any ulterior motives because he's not getting paid to testify, you know. And he's like from listening to them talk about his credentials, he's like the worldwide foremost authority on pulmonary situations. And I thought he did a great job. I think that, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the defense still has some things that they're going to rapidly try to pull out of a hat. See, because it's up to, because the defense needs one juror. The prosecution needs all of them. So the burden is on the prosecution to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer, was the cause of George Floyd's death, because that's what they're trying to do now. The prosecution is trying to poke holes. I mean, the defense is trying to poke holes in the prosecution's case, and by trying to say that George Floyd died from the drugs or whatever that he had in his system at the time, I understand it was methamphetamine and fentanyl, you know. And these days, you can take a drug thinking you got one thing, and it can be something else. You know, that's how it goes now. You know, So the defense is drowning, it seems to me. I mean, I don't know about everybody else who's watching it. And you know, I'm watching. I'm trying to be, because it's very hard to watch this trial and to be objective. You know. Because we all remember, you know, we've seen the video many, many times, George Floyd with the knee on his neck being having the light snuffed out by this police officer who's supposed to be serving and protecting people. And, you know, and you see the video and it's just heartbreaking. You see that man lying there on his stomach with his hands cuffed behind his back and this man putting his full weight on the neck of this brother. And see, that doctor, Dr. David Tobin, the pulmonary specialist, he made an excellent point when he said, he pointed out, and I didn't even, you know, I mean, who am I? But he noticed that when Chauvin had his knee on George Floyd's neck, his foot was off the ground. So that means that his full weight on that side was going on George Floyd's neck. And I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. So we're going to see what's going to happen. I think that, you know, I think there's not going to be a fix here, people. The fix is not in here, because this prosecutor's brother is doing an excellent job. The defense is reeling. You know, they are in the corner ducking punches, because for the first time ever, we've had actual police officers, current police officers, Minneapolis police officers who have come to trial and have spoken out against another cop. That's never happened. That's never happened. You couldn't get a cop anywhere near a witness stand in any of the other, you know, countless killings of black folks by the police. So this is extraordinary that these police officers are coming forward and they are testifying against Derek Chauvin. So, you know, we may not get the conviction that we want. I mean, I doubt if we even get a murder charge. I seriously doubt that. I mean, I'd be very surprised if we did, but who knows? But I think that we'll at least get the manslaughter. If we can get the manslaughter, you know, that would be a victory in itself. But I don't have a lot of faith in the jury coming back with a murder charge. Because the makeup of the jury is 9 white folks. I think there's 4 black folks and 1 other that make up the jury. So I don't know. It's a toss-up. But as far as a murder charge, it doesn't seem likely. But, I mean, you know, I've been wrong maybe once or twice in my life. So we will see. Anyway, everybody, it's 17 minutes past y'all. Let me take my first break, and I'll come back and talk about some other stuff in just a couple minutes when we come back. So this is the Ron Kelly Show. It's April 8, 2020, about 70 degrees outside. We'll be back in a moment with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And the computer's not, it's all screwed up too. And so am I. So it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. It's 20 minutes exactly past the hour of 7 o'clock. You are watching or listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, The Ron Kelly Show. www.thefruitedplain.com, all across the fruited plain of the United States of America, this program can be heard. Is it me or are they building a lot of self-storage places now? Everywhere you turn out, you know, you're thinking it's going to be a warehouse or some other place. It's a self-storage place. And, you know, because I travel around during the day on my daily, slave ship, I notice a lot of the self-storage units are being built all over the place. You know, during this pandemic, you know, even though the restaurants and some of the other social venues lost a lot of money, some people made a lot of money. As a matter of fact, Jeff Bezos, you know, who's the richest person on this planet, made about $70 billion. That's what it be, $70 billion last year alone. Because everybody was in the house and everybody was buying those feel-good gifts, including myself, everybody's sneakers. Oh, you know, I need this. Oh, I need that. And I did it myself. So, you know, I'm guilty as anybody else. So that part of that $70 billion is mine. So, excuse me. So, and I noticed there's a lot of self-storage places being built all over the place. You know, and I guess that's in anticipation of June. I believe when, you know, if they don't get an extension, the moratorium on evictions will be over. You know, shout out my boy Ronald McCready's Amazon is making a killing. Yes, it is. Amazon was already making a killing. Now they're making a slaughtering, you know. And, Amazon made a lot of money. Some certain companies made a lot of money over this COVID period, especially Amazon, because you're stuck in the house, you can't go, the mall is closed, everybody's got shopping fever. They're going to shop somehow. So Amazon made billions, 70 or so billion dollars. That's not million, billion dollars last year. The last, you know, since the COVID thing broke out, they've made a hell of a lot of money, you know. And so I noticed there's a lot of self-storage places being built, CubeSmart and some of these other places where you can store your stuff. So I guess that's in anticipation of the moratorium being lifted. Because right now, I know Biden allegedly, I think Biden extended the moratorium on evictions and foreclosings until June. So I guess these enterprising folks are building, South Ron McCready says he paid no taxes. Yeah, that's what rich people do. They don't pay. Because if you can claim you lost more than you made, then you don't pay any taxes. See, that doesn't happen with folks on the ground like us. We make more than what we lose. So we don't get the benefit of claiming that we didn't have any. I mean, and plus, we're not, business people. But yeah, so I think that what's happening with these self-storage places, and maybe it's just me, I'm the only one that notices this, but I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, everywhere you go, there's a self-storage place being built. And I think that's in anticipation of, the moratorium being lifted. Because from what I understand, when the moratorium is lifted, people are going to be put out, and it's not funny, but people are going to be getting put out left and right from their homes, unless they're able to get some kind of rental assistance. I understand in this last, the $2.2 trillion America First, whatever they call it, I believe that there was some money that was earmarked to loan people so they can pay their rent and catch up with their mortgage and it won't be put out. Now, there's not enough for everybody, I don't believe. So you got to get to the trial quick. But, I think that's why they're building these storage places. Because people are going to need a place to put their stuff. Because once the moratorium is over, people are going to be getting put out left and right. You know, those folks who were unable to pay their rent during this time period are probably going to, once the moratorium is lifted, there's going to be summonses flying out the courtroom door. Asking people to come to court to explain why they couldn't pay their rent. And even though there was a pandemic and even though their company may have closed if they worked in a restaurant or they worked at a stadium or wherever the case may be, if they sold hot dogs at Giant Stadium, whatever. Those people who come to court are not going to be able to I don't know if there's going to be mechanisms in place to help people, give them more time. But I believe that the moratorium is going to be lifted or expires or may be extended in June. I think it's probably going to be extended because, as a matter of fact, New York and New Jersey, Ron McCready says, if you don't have rent money, how can they pay a storage fee? Well, my brother, the storage fee is a lot less than rent. You know, I use the storage space for my motorcycle. And even though it's only 10 by 10 and there's no running water or anything like that, but it's still kind of expensive. But you're right. If they don't have money to pay rent, how can they pay a storage fee? Well, the storage fee is going to be a lot cheaper than rent, you know. To get it, you know, you may pay $300 a month for a storage space as opposed to, you know, yeah, Timothy Cameron says storage units are a low overhead self-sustaining power bill. Yeah, it is, because my rent, I've been living in my building, for example, I live in Montclair, and I've been living in my building since 2009. I got to get out of here. But I don't want to leave because the rent has never gone up in my building. I mean, I've never had a rent increase. In 11 years that I've been living in this building, I've never had a rent increase. Now, juxtapose that to the storage place where I keep my motorcycle that I've had there for maybe a year or two. The rent has gone up twice in that storage place. So you're right. You're right, Timothy Cameron, that the slow overhead, it's like an empty build. It's like a building where you just let people store stuff. There's no maintenance. They put their stuff in there. They lock their door like I do. I drive my motorcycle into the place. I lock it up, and nobody, there's no maintenance. There's no maintenance. I mean, maybe you have somebody to go through and clean every now and then, but there's basically no maintenance. And yeah, and my rent, 11 years in my building, have never had a rent increase. A couple of years in my storage space where I keep my motorcycle, the rent has gone up twice already. So I don't know. I guess I don't know if it's me, but I noticed that people, they are building storage units left and right, because I believe that they're anticipating that people are going to need those storage places to put their stuff once they get evicted, you know. So somebody is always making money during depression, during the depression of the 20s, you know. Somebody is always making money, especially here in the United States of America, commercial capital of the planet. Somebody is always making money. Trust and believe, somebody is making money. Even when it seems like, you know, gloom and doom, like this COVID thing and nobody's working, you know. And a misconception about the stimulus is that the stimulus is not for you, you know. The stimulus is not for you. The stimulus is for you to go out and spend, for you to go out and inject it into the economy of the United States of America. That's what that stimulus is for. No, it's not to keep, it's not to save, it's to go out and blow it on sneakers or TVs or whatever the hell it is that you want to buy. That's what the stimulus is for. It's not for you. It's for you to take it and go buy something. That's what it's about. Now, you can't buy a car with a stimulus, you know, some people probably have tried, but that's what the stimulus is for. The very name of it, stimulus, to stimulate the economy, Shout out to my radio boo, Gail Carnegie, who says that's true. Yes, it is, Gail Carnegie. Yes, it is. Spend. That's what that money is for. It's not for you to save. Don't put it in the bank. Don't try to buy T-bills with it. Don't try to buy CDs with it. No. Take it to the mall and spend it. That's what it's for. Okay, everybody, it's exactly 7:30. You are listening to, watching, whatever on the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Yeah, I'm trying to get on TikTok, right? But you got to have 1,000 likes or 1,000 followers or something like that in order to get on TikTok. So y'all go to TikTok, The Ron Kelly Show, R. Kelly Radio, something like that. If you just happen to see my name on TikTok, click that button because I do want to put the radio show on TikTok. It'll still be on Facebook. I'm not leaving Facebook anytime soon. But I do want to try to venture out to some other platforms. TikTok is gaining steam right now, you know. And all you see is nipples and no bras and panties up the crack. If you go on TikTok, let me stop. If you go on TikTok, mostly when you're going to see scantily clad women on TikTok, that's what you're going to see for the most part. Scantily clad women, antelopes being eaten by lions. You know, that's the kind of stuff you're going to see on TikTok, but mostly it's scantily clad women. That's one thing I noticed on TikTok. Anyway, everybody, so welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. If you've just gotten here, it's 1:30. Very nice outside. Timothy Cameron says, bingo. Yeah, go on Facebook. You got to go on TikTok. It's better than Pornhub. When you go on TikTok, there's so many scantily clad chicks with no bras and nipples all over the place and boobs bouncing around. And butts and, you know, and the women are like, you know, you look at the woman's butt, maybe like, what you looking at? But then every time you turn around, they're in a picture on Facebook and the butt is stuck out. TikTok, the butt is stuck out everywhere. Because most women, when they take a picture, they take it from the back so you can see their butt. But when you say something about their butt, they get mad. Well, if you don't want nobody to say that about your butt, then stop showing it so much. Anyway, So lots of killings. We're just surrounded by death. You know, we're just surrounded by death. I mean, everywhere you turn around, somebody's dying, somebody's getting killed, somebody, you know, mass shootings. Just unbelievable what's going on right now. I was just reading, about the former football player. Used to play for the Giants, only 25 years old, left school early, but wasn't that good, wasn't drafted. He got picked up by the Giants and by some Canadian football team, got in jail for murder. You know, then there was another football player who killed a couple and the two children. I mean, something's got to be wrong with you to point a firearm, and I own a firearm, and I carry a firearm. I have a license to do so. And you just, I mean, for you to take a gun and point it at a child and pull a trigger, it's just unconscionable. But that's what this man did. Philip, what was his name? Philip, I can't think of his name right now. Somebody pull it up for you. You can put it on the Facebook feed if you like. Who was a football player. This is somebody else separate from the guy who played for the Giants. He was a football player, and he killed the doctor and his wife, the two grandkids, and killed the doctor, his wife, the two grandkids. I think neither one of them more than 10 years old. And then he killed somebody who was working at the doctor's house. So that's five people. And then the next day, he killed himself, you know. And see, that goes back to the CTE. Some of y'all remember, some of my sports fans out there, remember that the NFL, the National Football League, did make a deal with former players who sued the league about the CTE. Yeah, about the CTE. I'll get to you in a minute. It's Timothy Cameron. Yeah, about the CTE. The CTE is I'll explain to you in a second. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Yeah, CTE is a term used to describe brain degeneration likely caused by repeated head trauma. So this guy, Philip Adams was his name, ex-football star. They say he was a star, but I've never heard of him. It doesn't mean he wasn't a star. Philip Adams was the man, only 32 years old, who killed the doctor. The doctor was 70 years old. The wife was 69 years old. Killed them, killed the two grandkids that were at the house visiting. One was 4 or 5, I think, and the other one was 9. And he also killed, he tried to kill the two people who were working at that house, two contractors working at the house. He did kill one, but the other one survived the multiple gunshot wounds. And, yeah, chronic traumatic encephalopathy is a brain degeneration likely caused by repeated head traumas. Like boxers, for example, suffer from this, you know. Muhammad Ali suffered from CTE, you know, it's Parkinson's disease / CTE. So they're saying that there's a possibility that this football player, Philip Adams, who was a linebacker, a corner, I believe, suffered from CTE. And we remember that the National Football League did settle a lawsuit with hundreds of former players who suffered head trauma, early onset of Alzheimer's, dementia, so on and so forth from you know, because you just watch football game, we'd be like, yeah, you know, oh, we hit him, but people be getting messed up, you know. So yeah, so they're saying that Philip Adams was suffering from CTE when he killed 5 people. And then the next day, he killed himself, Timothy Cameron. Ronald McCready says mental illness. Yeah, and that's what it is. The people are just killing each other. It's just unbelievable. Now you had the two kids who planned to kill the family. Just recently, let me see. Y'all gotta excuse me, I'm a little off today. These two kids had planned to kill their family. Planned to kill them. And they did. 6 people were killed in a murder-suicide just a couple of days ago. 2 brothers, Tanvir Tawheed and Farhan Tawheed. One was 19, one was 21. They made a pact to kill their parents, the sister, and the grandmother before killing themselves. The bodies were found early Monday, just this week. 6 people dead in a murder-suicide plot. Just unbelievable how it's almost fashionable now. People are just killing themselves, killing each other, and killing other people, and then killing themselves. It's been a rash of, I mean, wow, it's just unbelievable. It's been a rash of killings. But these two brothers killed a whole family. They made a pact. They sat down and decided. One was 21, one was 19. Now, who knows why they did it? But they said that one of them was suffering from depression. So there we go back to that. We go back to the mental illness. And see, you know, we talk about the COVID and we talk about, healthcare, Obamacare or Biden care, whatever you want to call it. But I've always said throughout my, you know, the last couple of years on my radio program, I've always talked about that nobody's talking about mental illness. It's all about, you know, Obamacare and this, in the COVID now, Obamacare or some of these other things. But there are a lot of people walking around. There's a lot of sick puppies walking around. You know, you have to go into the supermarket and killing people. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But can you say that these two brothers were mentally ill when they sat down and planned the death of their parents, their sister, and their grandmother? Because that's what they did. They sat down, 121 years old, 119 years old, made a pact to kill their parents, sister, and grandmother, which they did. They killed the 4 people, and then they killed themselves. Just wow. Just unconscionable, unthinkable. You know, and Timothy Cameron, you're right. The people are killing themselves, and then they're killing each other. You know, or I mean, they're killing other people, and then they're killing themselves. Just, you know, you can't even go to the supermarket now. I go to the supermarket now. My eyes are peeled, let me tell you. I may even have to wear my firearm to the supermarket. That's how bad it is. You know, you can't go nowhere now. It's, you know, there's people are being killed just going out to buy a gallon of milk and wind up dead. You know, families are, it's just kill, United States of America. You know, that's one thing. And it's in other countries, you know, this does like in China and places like that, you don't, unless they caught it, you don't hear about this kind of stuff. But in America, gun violence is probably the number one reason why people die. Gun violence is probably the number one reason because there's so much going, I mean, you go in the hood and, you know, people are getting killed. If you watch the first 48, there's always some young black boy who killed another young black boy. You know, now is it because they, do they pick the cases? Like, we're going to pick out these black people? I don't know. I can't say that. But, wow, just completely, like, unbelievable. Anyway, it's 19 minutes before the hour, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I have a couple of things, a couple more things, you know, that I need to talk about here. While I sit in the air chair on a Thursday, another week almost gone. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, yeah. The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, yours truly, R. Kelly. Not that one. one time I wouldn't mind being here, but now, no. And welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on various stations across the United States of America. The Fruited Plain, I like to call it. And, of course, on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, and on Facebook Live. So I talked about Facebook last week, and you know, some people were like, "Wow, why are you?" You know, so Ron, you say the same. You say the things that nobody, that people think but don't want to say, and that's true. You know, that's what I do. I say stuff that people want to say but won't say because they're afraid that they're going to lose their Facebook friends. You know, but that's what I do. I mean, I say what I think. That's what good talk radio personalities do. Say what they think. Because at one time, you know, I used to, you know, I didn't want to talk about the cops because I knew cops. I knew, you know, a lot of cops, sheriffs and former captains and current police officers, you know, because I've worked in that arena and I was constable for 6 years. I knew the sheriff, you know, I don't want to say a person's name, but I knew sheriffs and police chiefs I knew a lot of law enforcement people. So I wouldn't talk about law enforcement. You couldn't get me to talk about the police on my radio show, because I allowed my relationships with people to dictate what I talked about. So I wouldn't talk about police officers, no matter what they did. I told the thin blue line, don't talk about the cops. But that's not how you do a radio show. I can't do my radio show and exclude certain things because it was ruining me as a radio personality where I decided I wasn't going to talk about certain people because I didn't want to lose any friends. My friends are going to be my friends. My friends are going to be my friends. And I know I say things and I step on people's toes all the time on this radio program about the pictures of food and how you looked when you was 12 years old and all that stuff. Yeah, I talk about that stuff because I think it's kind of nonsensical. But, for the people, but if I don't say it, who will? So I don't worry about losing friends when I say stuff, So I know, I noticed like some people that I used to be friends with, maybe they unfriended me. It's okay. That's fine. Because my friends is going to always be my friends, no matter what. No matter what I say, unless I talk about them directly, and my friends are going to come to me and say, hey, man, why'd you mention my name? That's why I never mention names on the show, unless I'm talking about some public figure, But, if you're going to be a radio personality, you can't not talk about things. Because I know a lot of people who put pictures of food on the Facebook. I know a lot of people who every place they go and everything they do, every little thing, I'm putting on my sock now. Let me take a picture. Oh, I'm brushing my teeth. Let me take a picture. I know people who do that. I see them, when I go certain places, I see people who put every single thing that they do, every move they make, every place they go on Facebook, but I don't like not talk about it because I know I'm going to see them in the street one day, whatever, but we need to pay attention to what's going on. So the state of Arkansas, the governor of Arkansas, H.R. Hutchinson, tried to veto a bill that would outlaw helping transgender kids. Tried to veto the bill, and the Republicans overrode that bill. So now in Arkansas, it's against the law to, the anti-trans bill is law now. Because the governor of Arkansas tried to veto the bill, but the Republican-led Senate overrode the bill. So now it's the first anti-transgender law in the United States of America. It's a felony to prescribe trans youth puberty blockers, hormone replacement therapy, or gender-affirming surgeries. So it's a felony. It's against the law if somebody wants to do the gender reassignment surgery, where you take a penis and turn it into a vagina, or vice versa. It's a felony to do that now. It's a felony to prescribe for a doctor to prescribe hormone replacement therapy, giving estrogen to boys who want to be girls, or giving what they give to girls who want to be boys. So it's against the law now. It's against the law. So the House voted 72-25, Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. And then the Senate voted for it as well. So it bars doctors. So as a doctor in Arkansas, you can't give puberty blockers, hormone replacement therapy, or you can't perform gender affirming surgeries to trans people under the age of 18. So it was under the age of 18. Now, that's a little ray of hope. So now the kids who are receiving hormone therapy can't get it now unless they're above the age of 18. So, you know, I'm not an advocate of abortion. Let me just make that abundantly clear. I'm not an advocate of abortion. I'm against abortion, except in the case of rape or incest. But I'm not against a woman's right to choose. See, there's a difference between like my position and the position of some of these politicians. They feel like they can make law. You know, they can decide what you can and can't be with some of these politicians. You know, and I've said in the past that I'm against transgender girls competing against biological girls. I'm totally against it. I've said it publicly many times. Totally against it. Transgender girls or boys who want to be girls because they got a weave or whatever, should not be allowed to participate in high school sports with biological girls, girls who were born girls, because they have an unfair advantage, because boys are faster. Just because you're taking hormone therapy don't mean you can't run faster than a girl. Most of us can, unless she's like, you know, FloJo or somebody like that, you know. So, yeah, so I'm totally against that, totally against transgender girls competing against regular girls, biological girls, I should say. Totally against it. But, yeah, so that's the law. And this is what Republicans are doing now. They're changing the laws to vote. And the voting laws being changed is just unbelievable. In these two states now, in Texas and in Georgia, they can dismiss. See, everything that they weren't able to do when Trump lost, they got the bases covered. So they're able, so the state is now able to remove county, let's say you have in every county there's a person who handles a superintendent of elections in every county. Well, that's what they call it here. It could be called something else somewhere else. But now the states, those two states are able to remove. It's just that they want to put who they want to put in the White House, no matter who wins or loses. So they want to take the loser like they tried to do with Trump. They tried to install Trump into the presidency like they do in North Korea or someplace. And this is totally alarming. This is totally, completely ridiculous how they do this. And so people, you know, all right, you got to pay attention. Got to help Stacey Abrams, some of the other people who are fighting back against this stuff, because your vote's not going to count. In the states, just like they try to, every trick in the book to try to be able to reassign the electoral college, the electoral college votes, they tried it, but now they got it covered. So they changed the laws, so everything that they couldn't do before, they can do now. So no matter who won, let's say Biden won or Biden wins the next time, these states that are changing their laws are going to be able to install, forget about the vote. Your vote is going to get tossed in garbage. And they'll be able to install whoever they want. This is very scary stuff. People are not paying attention. Pictures of food. People are not paying attention. And if you live in New Jersey, so we're kind of like in the cocoon, New Jersey, New York, Democratic states, democratically controlled. So there's no chance that, California or some of the other places, I mean, thank God that the Democratic states are the biggest states. So with the most people, because we'd really be in trouble if we didn't have as many people. Like California has 40 million people. They have a whole bunch of electoral college votes, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, you know, states with a lot of democratically controlled states with a lot of electoral votes. Crazy. So pay attention, people. Raise your vote. Maybe not here, not in New Jersey. That probably would never happen here. But, or New York, or California, or Oregon, or Washington State. But watch out. So Midwin Charles passed away today. Gorgeous lady, Midwin Charles. Only 47 years old. I don't know if any of you know. I watch a lot of news, so, you know, I've seen Midwin Charles on TV when there's I noticed that she'd been missing, though. She hadn't been around the last few, I'd say this year. I haven't really seen her on TV that much, and there's been a lot of controversial court cases that were, especially the ones with Trump trying to overturn the election, and hadn't seen her, so she must have been sick. They haven't said what she passed on from, but only 47 years old, Midwin Charles, beautiful, sexy, intelligent, that's the kind of type of woman I like, you know, type of woman. She's very beautiful, very talented, a good lawyer, very smart, you know, and she passed on, but I hadn't seen her in a while, so maybe, you know, she'd been ill, you know, so if you're still here, you're healthy, you know, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, I do every day, because you might leave home and you may not make it back home. And then the landlord will be going through your stuff, trying to get to your stuff before your people get there. So not that you're going to worry about that, because we did. But, yeah. So, you know, me personally, you know, I'm very grateful that I'm still around and I'm healthy. There's nothing really wrong with me that I'm aware of at the moment, 3 minutes before the hour. So, yeah. So you're here and you're healthy and you've got everything going on for yourself. And I'm not talking about the spectacular highfalutin stuff, but if you're all right, you know, thank the Lord Jesus Christ that you're okay right now. Because the death toll in the COVID thing is still climbing. They don't talk about it as much because not as many people are dying. The 100 million people have gotten their COVID vaccines. You got to give Joe Biden credit for that. 100 million people have gotten at least one vote, one dose of the vaccine. So I'm definitely going to apply. I think I can do it now here in New Jersey. And yeah. So if you're here and you're healthy, you know, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that you're still around, because we're surrounded by death. Going to the supermarket, get shot. Going to the movie theater, get shot. Going to the mall, get shot. You know, just all around us, death all around. You know, but it hasn't come up on you yet, so be grateful. 2 minutes before you out. So, yeah, so 2.5 minutes before you out, I should say. So, yeah, so there's a lot going on. You know, people pay attention. You know, I mean, I know you want to tell people where you are and what you did and where you ate, you know. Homeless people have cell phones, too, and homeless people go on Facebook, too. I've seen homeless people with cell phones, and they go on Facebook, too. And they see you cheesing and smiling and eating, you know, how do you think it make them feel? You know, not that you're responsible for that, but, you know, always think that somebody else might not be doing as good as you. Not always good to stick your chest out and write about your largesse on Facebook, because somebody else is not doing as good as you. You know, somebody out there is hurting. So try to remember that before you put it out there that you got a new car or something. I just bought another car last month. I had it for a month. I didn't go pitch. You put your car on Facebook? No. No. For what? I don't want everybody to know what kind of car I drive. You might see it somewhere and scratch it up because they thought I was talking about them. So no. I don't put my cars on Facebook anymore. Let me tell you, I used to do all that stuff. I used to put everything on Facebook. Like I said, put on a sock, brush your teeth, comb your hair. You know, only thing I didn't put on Facebook was going to the bathroom. You know, I did that, but, you know, I graduated. You know, some of y'all still in school. Anyway, but it's a free country. Whatever makes you happy, you go right ahead and do that. regardless of what anybody says or thinks. All right, 30 seconds left of the program, everybody. I want to thank you so much for joining me once again. Dragged myself over to the edge here, but it's okay because you guys give me the inspiration to keep it moving. So in any case, anybody, remember that it's nice to be important, but it's much more important to be nice. If somebody cuts you off on the highway, keep going because they might stick a gun out their window. It's much more important to be nice. More important to be it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. We may not have it all together, but together we certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done.